Many people have questions about the end times, questions such as, who is the Antichrist? When will the world come to an end? And is this the last hour? Welcome to Christ in Prophecy. I'm Tim Moore, Director and Senior Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries, and I'm joined by our Internet Evangelist, Nathan Jones. Today, we're turning our attention to the end times and the prophetic insights of the Apostle John.
You might think we're going to jump into Revelation. I mean, after all, it's the culminating prophetic book of the Bible. But you'll recall that John wrote prophecy throughout his gospel account and in his three short letters. Our focus today will be to explore the meaning of a single verse. We're talking about 1 John 2:18, where John writes, "Children, it is the last hour, and just as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. For this we know, that it is the last hour."
Nathan, there's a lot to unpack in this short verse. John talks about children, many Antichrists, and the last hour in this one powerful verse. Part of our mission here at Christ in Prophecy is to encourage believers to dig deeper into Scripture and seek out what God has revealed to us. So we're glad you've joined us as Nathan and I take a closer look at what the Apostle John meant when he wrote about the last hour 2,000 years ago.
So stay with us as we answer questions about the end times, the Antichrist, and more. This, folks, I believe is going to be a fascinating conversation. If you'd like to keep the conversation going, then we invite you to our website at christinprophecy.org. You'll find a wealth of prophetic information there, videos like our TV show, Christ in Prophecy, podcasts, articles, social media, you name it. We want to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ and be as excited as we are that Jesus is coming soon. And if this show has been a blessing to you, please click the donate button. We'll be back in just a moment.
Here at Christ in Prophecy, we want everyone to know that Jesus is coming back, and He doesn't want His people to be unprepared. So, to stay up to date about unfolding events, get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, and dig deeper into God's prophetic word, check out our free bi-weekly Lamplighter magazine. You can easily sign up to have Lamplighter magazine delivered directly to your email inbox when you go to christinprophecy.org. Sign up today.
Well, Nathan, let's start by unpacking 1 John 2:18 word by word. And so I'll just reread it. It's so very short. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. So let's talk about these terms regarding children and exploring what he means by the last hour.
Well, let's start with the word children, for instance. Why did John call the church children? Because that's his audience. Well, bear in mind that when he was writing these letters, he was in his 90s. He was old, very old. You know, it used to be that he was the youngest disciple during Jesus' ministry, but he was the only one to survive. All the other apostles were martyred. Now, the Roman emperor tried to boil him in oil, according to church history, but he survived. He was sent to the island of Patmos, an old man sentenced to hard labor, and that's where he wrote the book of Revelation. So as the bishop of Ephesus, he longed to get back with his church family, and so he called them children. They were like his children, his spiritual children. So that's who's he addressing. And Tim, I love that he uses children like a father. It's just not a theologian talking to a sanctuary filled with people. He's talking to people that he's loved and nurtured like children.
Yeah, this is a familiar term, and it should not be something that is offensive to us. I remember when I was young, in many churches, especially in the South, older men would refer to me as son. They'd say, "Son," and then they'd go on to address me. Well, I thought, I'm not your son. But what they were doing was using a term that created a familiarity and a loving relationship. And so my father to this day will oftentimes refer to other people as son, and we tell him, "Dad, that's no longer really acceptable in our society or our culture." But it is an indication of affection, and that's exactly what John is talking about, his affection to the church as a whole, and yes, to all these younger believers, because at that point, they were all younger than him. And let's face it, he has many children down through the ages to include you and me in terms of children in the faith. Well, that brings us to the next phrase that really is the crux of our conversation today. Is it the last hour?
Well, twice we see in this verse, John declares that it's the last hour, but you know, 2,000 years have passed since he wrote these words. So how could it be the last hour? Well, John is describing the period of time after Pentecost but before the rapture, and we call this the church age. And frequently throughout the Bible, the church age, which is a parenthetical break, so to speak. It's a gap in the plan that God has for the redemption of Jewish people that brings the Gentiles into belief in God as well. And so it's the last hour because it's one of the last phases leading up to Christ's kingdom. So while the last hour might have been 2,000 years so far, what it really means is it's the final phase of God's plan of redemption leading up to his kingdom.
Yeah, and it is the last hour in the sense that ever since Pentecost, as the apostles went forward to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the impending next event is the rapture of the church. It is an imminent event. We don't believe there are any intervening events that have to happen before the rapture. But shortly after the rapture, when the actual Antichrist is revealed, the tribulation will ensue and the wrath of God will fall. So it is the last hour before that final act. You can imagine if you look at Scripture as a series of acts, let's say we're watching a play, we are in the final act. And yes, it has lasted 2,000 years leading up to that final culmination. You know, the last couple of weeks, Nathan, we talked about Daniel. You just mentioned a gap. And obviously, as we review in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel, it was revealed to him, spoke and wrote about the number of weeks that would occur until the Messiah was cut off. And then there would be a final seven-year period of time before the actual return of the Messiah to earth. We know that that final seven-year period is the tribulation I just mentioned, but right now we're living in that gap period we know as the church age. And yet, even during Jesus' ministry on the earth and immediately following his resurrection, the apostles were anticipating that he would usher in the kingdom right then. And he said, no, it's not now. It's not for you to know the times or epochs. You be about my business, proclaiming the gospel. But he didn't tell them they were wrong. Certainly, there is a kingdom that's coming, the millennial kingdom of Christ. And yet, until he does come in this last hour, we are still to be about his business, fulfilling the Great Commission.
Yeah, even the apostles thought that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime, and he said they would, and that was meaning that he would come and reveal himself to John in his old age. So the apostles were expecting Jesus to return in their lifetime, but the Lord left a message. He said, especially you can find this in Luke 21, you know, be on the alert, be ready, be watchful, keep an eye out. Well, what are we keeping an eye out for? The signs of the times, he said. He gave us a series of signs, signs of nature, society, spiritual signs, world politics, technology, even Israel becoming a nation again. And he compared them to birth pains. He says, when you see these signs increase in frequency and intensity, you know the baby is coming. Likewise, as these signs increase, we know that Jesus is coming. So that's what we're looking out for.
We certainly are. And you can go back to scriptures like Mark chapter 13, which Jesus describes all these signs of the end times. But in verse 10, he says, the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. And so we are virtually at the cusp of seeing the gospel preached to all the nations. Nathan, we have a good friend, Doug Cobb, who wrote a book about the fact that we are approaching all the nations being saturated or at least exposed to the gospel. Nowadays, through the modern technology of AI and the ability to translate, we are reaching all the various language groups. And so we are virtually fulfilling that very verse, and so we know that the actual end is near. But already in John's day and age, he was anticipating the Lord's return. Well, you and I have talked many times about the super sign, the greatest sign of all, and that being Israel. Israel returning as a nation in 1948, Jerusalem becoming the capital of the Jewish people again in 1967, marking the closeout of this period of the Gentiles and of the church age, which is predominantly Gentile.
Yes, we're seeing a crossing of the guard, so to speak, as the church age begins to wane and prepares for the rapture. Israel is back in the land again. It's rising again. It's growing in influence. And the Bible prophesies the whole world's focus will be on Israel. Folks, we see that all the time. I mean, basically, that's why the UN exists. So we understand that John was writing with loving urgency to his spiritual children. He was warning them about the last days they were entering. But he also mentioned something mysterious, that many antichrists have already appeared. Well, what did he mean by that? And how does it relate to the Antichrist? Stay with us. We're going to address that shortly.
With all the uncertainty in the world today, it's good to know that God's promises never fail. As you listen to Christ in Prophecy each week, we'll explain what God has revealed in His prophetic word. Join us as together we look forward to His imminent return. To listen to more programs and to hear more hope for the future, go to ChristInProphecy.org.
Well, welcome to a segment we call What's Really Going On. And Nathan, for the last 45 years, Lamb and Lion Ministries has existed to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible. We're actually coming up on our 46th anniversary, and we've been here that long proclaiming Jesus' soon return only because so many other like-minded people have been supportive of this ministry and partnered with us to share that glorious good news. Yes, good news and encouragement to the faithful saints of Christ and a warning to unbelievers to flee from the wrath to come and into the loving arms of our Savior. And so, if you are listening to us today and you think that this message should be proclaimed, we would always invite you to join with us in such a time as this in proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ. You can become a prophecy partner just by connecting with us at ChristInProphecy.org or calling us at 972-736-3567. Again, that's 972-736-3567. So Nathan, talk to us a little bit about all the signs that we have recorded as we tell people what's really going on from a biblical perspective.
Okay, well, you can put a number of the signs into categories. So we like to look at, say, the signs of nature or the signs of society. There's spiritual signs, both positive and negative. There's the signs of world politics, the signs of technology, and the signs of Israel. These are signs or prophecies the Lord gave us to look out for that he said would be revealed closer and closer to his return. So, Tim, why don't we look at probably the biggest one that most people recognize is the sign of nature. The Bible says that nature is in free fall because of the fall, but the natural disasters would increase in frequency and intensity the closer we got to the Lord's return. And, Tim, I don't think there's anybody on the planet who doesn't doubt that natural disasters have radically increased over the last 100 years. Earthquakes, tornadoes, volcanoes even, pestilences and plagues associated with that. They call it global warming or climate change, but the Lord prophesied that this would happen.
He certainly did. He said that these signs would increase, as you said, Nathan, in frequency and intensity. I'll never forget when I was serving in the Kentucky legislature. We received a magazine called Governing Magazine, and one of the feature articles, the cover page article one time, was the dramatic increase in natural disasters, and it said, governments throughout the country are touting the need for resilience in the face of ever more frequent and destructive natural disasters. And I thought, here the editors of that secular magazine are proclaiming the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and they don't even know it. But I recognized it. They understood that the frequency and intensity of these natural disasters is increasing, just as the Word of God proclaimed.
One of the other things we're seeing increasing exponentially is technology. My goodness, when you think what our technology was in this world just 100 years ago and then compare it to today, well, there's quite a number of things that are prophesied in the Bible that would require technology to make them happen. For one, for the Antichrist, this one world ruler we will talk about in the next segment, will rule the world by controlling people's money. Well, we have the mechanisms for that today. Or that the whole world can witness different prophetic events. Well, how do we have that today? Well, we're all connected via the internet now. So many others, nuclear weapons, you can go on and on the list, but clearly technology is one of those signs. Spiritual signs, too. The very fact, as Tim said earlier, that the gospel is reached almost every country in the world. The prophecy is that not every person in the world gets the gospel, but every nation or every language. And we're getting very, very close to that happening as well.
Yeah, we certainly are. As a matter of fact, I mentioned Doug Cobb previously. He has a new book called The Sprint to the Finish. He's talking about the sprint to actually reach every people group in the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are so close today. Again, I think that is yet another indication that we are at the cusp of not just the last days, but the actual last moment when Jesus calls to his church, come up here, and brings us home in the rapture. Well, Nathan, obviously every other month, our Lamplighter magazine touches on many of the signs of the times. As a matter of fact, two pages in our magazine are focused specifically on all these different categories of signs. So if you'd like to get a copy of the Lamplighter magazine in print edition, we'd be glad to send you one. You can contact our ministry and subscribe, or you can reach out to us and you can receive an electronic version for free. Well, we're going to come back in just a minute to continue our conversation of the last days and address this nefarious character we know as the Antichrist. We'll be right back.
Swipe away the endless bad news and open up our Lamplighter magazine to discover your blessed hope. Our bi-monthly magazine sheds God's light on today's headlines through powerful articles written by men and women who love God and His Word. Find out what's really happening and how you can have hope in Christ. The Lamplighter magazine is available in print, email, and downloadable formats. Request your copy when you go to christinprophecy.org.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. I'm Nathan Jones. I'm here with Tim Moore, and we're tackling an intriguing part of John's warning. He said, "You heard that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have appeared." Well, what's the difference then between Antichrist, lowercase, and Antichrist, uppercase?
Yeah, Nathan, I think this is a distinction that it's very important for us to understand. There have always been individuals and even societies, whole governments, that are opposed to the purpose and plan of Jesus Christ, that are opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can think about Hitler opposing Christians in Germany. You can think about Stalin, Mao. We can go on and on with some of these nefarious characters, but there have also been individuals who are opposed to Christ, opposed to the spread of the gospel. And so we have to be guarded against following after a false Christ, but recognize that they're all around us. And this attitude, this spirit of Antichrist, has been in the world ever since Satan recognized who Jesus Christ was and has been out to thwart his will throughout the last 2,000 years.
Right. We can go to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, and we learn that what is Satan's desire? Satan's desire is to rule in God's place, and unable to do that, cast to earth, then he wants the worship of mankind to himself. And the Bible prophesies in Revelation 13 that a one-world ruler will rise up, whom the Bible called Antichrist, there's that capital A, and Satan will possess him to get the world to worship him and get that worship he's long desired. So Satan doesn't know when God's prophecies will be fulfilled. So like Tim said, he's always had a man in the wings waiting. Maybe it was Hitler in his time that could have become a world leader. That wasn't the right time, but there will be the right time when the Lord prophesied a tribulation time period, Daniel's 70th week prophecy, 7 years, when God's going to pour out his wrath upon the world in 21 judgments. The very first judgment, the seal judgment, is releasing the Antichrist upon the world.
You know, it's funny, Nathan, for 46 years almost, people have been writing into Lamb and Lion Ministries and telling us, "I figured it out. I know who the Antichrist is." And then they've listed other individuals. I won't even give credence by saying those names. The point is that Satan has indeed always had someone ready to ascend to that role because, as you said, he is not omniscient. Satan does not know when the rapture will occur, and so he has to have someone ready to promote into that role. We know, though, that there are categories of opposition to Christ today, and so Satan is constantly working to thwart the will of God, to try to prevent anyone from coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so you see political opposition, religious opposition, and even personal opposition to the person and the plan of God in Jesus Christ.
Folks, if you are a Christian, we will be raptured out of this world before the Antichrist is revealed. And so we won't know who the Antichrist is until we're standing with Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation, watching Christ's victory as he defeats the Antichrist and casts him into the lake of fire. So yes, that's when we will recognize him. And we might, if it's going to be in our lifetime, and Tim, I think that we are living in that age, very close to the rapture and the tribulation, that it could be some low-level politician or technocrat or even some benevolent person who will rise up and but reveal their true evil. So that leads us to a question. And knowing that this is the last hour, how are we supposed to live?
Well, we're supposed to live with our eyes on Jesus Christ. Satan is constantly trying to distract us. I use the example of Peter. Peter saw Christ walking across the water there on the Sea of Galilee and said, "Since it is you," and really he was meaning "if it is you, tell me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat by faith. He walked on the water towards Christ. And then Scripture says he saw the wind. And I always ask, how do you see wind? Well, folks, the reality is Peter saw the effects of the wind. He saw the waves and felt the spray on his face. And he realized, oh my goodness, I'm walking on water. And distracted, he took his eyes off of Christ and he began to sink. Well, the Lord could have said, all right, you messed up, just swim on back to the boat. But instead, in grace, Jesus reached down, pulled Peter back up, and walked with him back to the boat. You know, folks, if we will keep our eyes on Christ, we will not only walk on waves, but we will stay above the fray of this world, all of its distractions. And yet Satan is intent on trying to distract even the faithful so that we take our eyes off of Christ, so that we are despairing of all the harms that are happening around us, the chaos, the ungodliness. And again, taking our eyes off of Christ leads us only to discouragement. It can lead to depression, and I dare say it can lead to despair. And we're seeing that growing even in places where Christians should be encouraging one another.
And that's why the psalmist in chapter 37:7 said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes." You know, Tim, we're seeing a time period as Doge and other, the big Somali fraud case in Minnesota continues to explode. We're seeing so much fraud, so much corruption, so much evil, the whole Epstein file thing, you know. Will those people be brought to justice? And so it weighs on the heart, but we can read the Bible here. It says, "He who prospers in his way, don't be worried about the man who carries out his wicked schemes." Why? Because God is the ultimate judge and he will judge them one day.
The Lord in his goodness and grace gives me lots of opportunities to practice my patience, whether it's driving down the road, whether it's waiting at a doctor's office or appointment, on and on, I am enabled to practice my patience. And I think he does that on purpose because he wants me to be patient. Yes, expectant, excited about the Lord's return, but patient and intentional about using this time he has given to fulfill his desire that none should perish. So what is my part in that? It's sharing the gospel. So what do I do to wait patiently for the Lord? Well, I incline my heart to him, just as I've indicated there from Psalm 40, and I cry out to the Lord. I cry out, yes, Maranatha, but also, Lord, make me an instrument to your good and glory while I am waiting.
So we've explored what it means to live in the last hour, how to recognize the Antichrist in the world today. And so is there going to be encouragement? Stay tuned. Tim's going to leave us with one. Be right back.
Recently, a listener named Jim contacted Christ in Prophecy to say this: "Whenever I feel discouraged, your ministry reminds me of the temporary nature of it all and the eternal promises that await us. Thank you for blessing us for so many years." We want to hear from you. Let us know how understanding Bible prophecy has shaped your faith by sharing your story at christinprophecy.org/contact.
Well, as Nathan said, I want to give you a word of encouragement, but first I will give you a word of warning. Peter is such an exemplar to me in so many ways. He is one who was bold in his faith. He was the first to confess Christ, but there in the same chapter that Peter confessed Christ, Matthew 16, Peter also rebuked Christ when he revealed what the will of God was, that he should die. And the Lord responded, "Get behind me, Satan." Folks, when we talk about Antichrist, we have to be sure that even as followers of Christ, we don't become mouthpieces of Satan, oppositional to the will of God in this day and age and indeed in our lives. We need to be submissive. We can also be encouraged by the fact that those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. As Isaiah 40 says, "They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." On that note, I recently released a book called High Flight, talking about some of the encouragement that we can be offered in this day and age. If you'd like to get a copy of High Flight or reach out to us for any of the other wonderful resources we have available to encourage you in this last hour, I hope you'll contact us at christinprophecy.org. James wrote in his epistle, "You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away. It is humbling to think that my life and yours amount to nothing more than a vapor that will soon vanish. But within this brief span of a lifetime, we've been entrusted with a weighty eternal purpose, to serve our King and proclaim the good news that transforms destinies forever. Friends, every sunrise you witness could be your last before Christ returns, or your last day on earth. Some bargain with God, saying, 'I'll wait and see if these prophecies come true. Then I'll believe.' But as we've discussed already, many of God's promises have been fulfilled through the first coming of Jesus Christ. As for those prophecies which are yet to be fulfilled, we are assured that all his promises are yes and amen. Don't gamble with your eternal soul. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Today, right now, you can settle your eternal destiny. Turn from your rebellion, acknowledge your need for a Savior, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God is longing to see you in glory. Until that day, keep your eyes fixed upward, for our redemption is drawing near. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, and Godspeed.